Program has not changed. Good morning. Welcome to the second session of this week's Midrash Yom Rishon program. I'm Richard Beeler, Yeshiva University Senior Executive Director for Community Affairs, and I have the honor today of introducing the second shiur and making an announcement regarding the permanent association of this program with a family that's very dear to us and whose history and legacy match the values of Yeshiva University. We stand today between Parshas Noach and Parshas Lech Lecha, between learning about a society where the brick was more important than the person, and learning about the birth of Jewish society that values every life. Between learning about a society which was based on living only for the moment, and learning about a Jewish society which is based on living to build a future. And all of us are here today, able to study Torah in this country and to learn because of a legacy of Jewish heroes, a legacy that begins with Avraham Avinu and continues throughout the generations, especially in this country during the early 20th century. Today, Zion Cheshvan is the yard site of Abraham Arbisfeld, Avraham ben Chaim, one of our Jewish heroes, who proudly bore the name of Avraham Avinu, arrived in America in 1926. He was one of those who held on to Jewish values at all costs. He was one of those Jewish heroes who knew that he would have to find a new job every Sunday or Monday after letting his boss know on Friday that he would not be at work tomorrow because it was Shabbos. He was one of those people always found with a sefer in his hands, who made chinuch for his two children the main priority in life, and who always asked the question of his children, even when they were adults, "Did you learn some Torah today?" Those were the years when the vast majority of Jewish parents wanted their children to capture the American dream in public school. So there were 700,000 Jews in the Bronx, but only one yeshiva katana. Those were the years when there were shuls in the Bronx, but they were only filled with adults, and most of the Jewish children could be found on the ball field or at the movies. Those were the times when YU's high school, then known as TA, only had 22 students, and it was the only high school for kids from the Bronx to go to if they wanted to go to a Jewish high school. But in one of those shuls, and in that small yeshiva katana, and then in that small MTA, one of those children and one of those students was Hyman Arbisfeld, who went on to Yeshiva College, received smicha from Reitz, and is one of our most treasured members and officers of the Reitz board. All of this because Abraham Arbisfeld, together with his beloved wife Millie, placed Talmud Torah as the number one priority. We are pleased to announce, on the day of Abraham Arbisfeld's yard site, that as a result of a major benefaction by Hyman and Ann Arbisfeld, the name Abraham Arbisfeld will be permanently linked to our Kollel Yom Rishon program, and the name Millie Arbisfeld will be permanently linked to this Midreshet Yom Rishon program. And part of the godless of this gift is that the Arbisfelds insist that everyone else continue to be allowed to have individual sponsorships on a weekly basis. They want other people to have this mitzvah too. So we invite all of you to reserve Sunday, December 24th, when we will formally celebrate together the dedication of the Abraham Arbisfeld Kol Yom Rishon and the Millie Arbisfeld Midreshet Yom Rishon programs. And we can say in confidence today that yes, Avraham ben Chaim, we did learn some Torah today. And we will honor your memory and the memory of Millie Arbisfeld by learning together every Sunday. May their neshamot have an aliyah. Professor Smadar Rosenzweig is professor of Judaic Studies and Humanities at Touro College. She received BA from Barnard, two masters in philosophy from Columbia, and is currently a doctoral candidate in Jewish history at Columbia. She's a speaker who is in great demand across the United States and around the globe. And the Rosenzweig family is very close to the Arbisfeld family. Our speaker's father-in-law, Rabbi Beryl Rosenzweig, a member of YU's faculty, was the Rav of Adas Yishur in Kew Gardens, where the Arbisfelds are members. So it's most appropriate that one of the shiurim on the day of Avraham Arbisfeld's yard site be delivered by a member of the Rosenzweig family. The topic of today's shiur is Bracha and Bechora, Reuven and Yehuda.
Thank you, Rabbi Bieler. Again, I would like to say that it's really a great pleasure of mine to speak here at Midreshet Yom Rishon, but especially since the Arbisfelds, Rabbi Hyman Arbisfeld and Ann Arbisfeld, are dedicating the Midreshet Yom Rishon program and the Kolel Yom Rishon program in memory of Rabbi Arbisfeld's parents. And the truth is that we have a connection for so many years, and really it's not only a simcha for the community, but it's really a personal simcha, and a lot of the members of the family are here that we feel really close to, and it's really an honor. Both Rabbi Arbisfeld and Ann Arbisfeld are really involved in many philanthropic projects here in YU and also in the Jewish community at large, but especially they are so connected with YU and really trying to further Torah on every single level. So I want to give them a big yesha koach, because it really is a wonderful thing. And not coincidentally, I'm speaking today about bracha and bechora. In Sefer Bereishit, the actions of individuals exist simultaneously on two planes. They are acts of individuals responding to what is happening to them at that historical time period. And then the other plane, they are our archetypes of how to behave in this world. And their actions define Jewish history, set it in motion, and echo down to this moment as we learn together this very day. I pick bracha and bechora today because many times we're not born as the bechor. You have to take leadership positions. You have to make a difference. And as we saw with the Arbisfeld family, early on, you come to this country, you have choices to make, and the choices that you make not only affect yourself, but affect your family as well. And we would like to really see this all the way back in Sefer Bereishit. There's so many things in Sefer Bereishit, in bracha and bechora. We know with Cain and Hevel, Cain is really the bechor, but Hevel really chooses to make a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with a special korban. He really has the initiative of excellence. We see with Lot, Lot is really the surrogate child, the adopted child of Abraham and Sarah. He has the beracha. Abraham pretty much gives him the beracha, but he doesn't take the initiative. He instead goes to live in Sdom. We have Ishmael and Yitzchak. Ishmael is really the bechor. Abraham really takes care of him, tends to his religious education, and yet Ishmael rejects it. We have Yaakov and Esav. Esav is also the bechor, and Esav makes choices. Really, he should be in line for the beracha. He has the bechora. Usually, bechora and beracha go together. Bechora is being the firstborn. Beracha is really the blessing. And yet, Esav does not take the initiative to really get that beracha. So taking initiative in your life and making decisions and making things happen is really one of the major lessons we have in Sefer Bereishit. Because you're born into things, and you have to still take that initiative to make things happen, to really make something of yourself. So I'd like to start today to discuss Yehuda and Reuven. And I guess that's psychological. We should really say Reuven and Yehuda. So we're starting in Bereishit Perek Kaftet, because really this is the beginning of Reuven and Yehuda's history. So we're on number one, and we're starting with Bereishit Perek Kaftet, Pasuk Lamed. Vayavo gam el Rachel, vayahav gam et Rachel mila, vayavod imo od sheva shanim acherot. What happens? Right, Yaakov marries Leah first, right, unbeknownst to him, and then he marries Rachel. A week after he marries Leah, he's given Rachel, and as we see that even though he married Leah first, after a week, he still has love for Rachel, because he really worked for her the first 7 years. Vayar Hashem ki snu'a Leah vayiftach et rachma v'rachel akara. When Hashem saw that Leah was hated, quote unquote, right? Again, this is not a shir on Rachel and Leah, so we really are not going to go into all these things, right? We'll leave that for some other time. Vayiftach et rachma v'rachel akara. Vatahar Leah vateled ben. So Leah gives birth to a child. Vatikra shmo Reuven. Ki amra ra'a Hashem be'oni, ki ata ye'avani ishi. The name that Reuven gets is connected with Leah's yearning for Yaakov's love. Right? Hashem saw my pain, now my husband will love me. So Reuven's name is inextricably connected with Leah's future, with Leah's feelings, with Leah's yearnings, with her relationship with Yaakov. And as we'll see throughout Reuven's life, especially initially, he really lives up to his name. He wants to fulfill the destiny of his name. His name is Reuven. I have a child, now Yaakov will love me. And Reuven sees it as his goal in life, as his mission, to have Yaakov love Leah, his mother. They have another child, and finally, Pasuk Lamed Hey, they also have a fourth son. Vatahar od vateled ben, vatomer, hapam ode et Hashem, I'm going to thank Hashem, al ken kara shmo Yehuda, she called his name Yehuda, vata'amod miledet. What's Yehuda's name? Yehuda's name is thanking Hashem. Yehuda is not a means to an end. Reuven is a means to an end. His birth is going to usher in the era of Yaakov's love to Leah. But Yehuda's name doesn't have any ulterior motives. It's not a means to an end. Ata odeh Hashem. Now I'm going to thank Hashem. Right, according to the Midrash, right, the Imahot knew that there were going to be 12 Shvatim. If there are four wives, each one should have three children. So now she sees that she has beyond her initial destiny. She has a fourth child. But Ata odeh Hashem. She is going to thank Hashem. Yehuda's name is inextricably connected with Hodaya, thanking, and also Vidui, admitting. Because being able to thank is also being able to admit. So Vidui, Hodaya, thankfulness, is all connected with Yehuda's name. So Hapam Odeh Hashem. And we'll see that the names really signify many things in the destinies of Reuven and Yehuda. So in Breshit Perek Lamed, we're on source number two, right? All the children that Leah has, right? And from Zilpah, from Leah. Finally, we come to Pasuk Yudalid. Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yudalid. Leah stopped giving birth after Yehuda. She gives her Shvachot to Yaakov, and she has another two children through the Shvachot, through the maids. But now, Pasuk Yudalid, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Yudalid, we're number two. Vayelech Reuven bimei Ktzir Chitim. He goes in the days of Ktzir Chitim. Vayimtza Dudaim Basadeh. He finds either mandrakes or jasmine, some kind of aphrodisiac basadeh in the fields. Vayave otam elea imo. The first thing he does when he sees these Dudaim, if in reality they are an aphrodisiac, right, or they are something to help fertility, right? He brings them to his mother. So already right away, the first act that we see one of the Shvatim do in this case is to bring an aphrodisiac to his mother, which means Reuven, from the beginning, is involved with making sure that Leah and Yaakov are going to have a close relationship with each other. But we know the story. Rachel wants these Dudaim. So right away, we see that Reuven does take charge in this important role as conciliator between his parents, between Leah and Yaakov. And he brings the Dudaim to his mother. We see his devotion to his mother. We see the fact that he wants to make sure the parents really have a good relationship. And we see that the Midrash also reflects this relationship, right? What does he do? He takes them, bimei ktzir chitim, he takes them in order to make sure he's not stealing them, right? Everything is hefker basadeh. He takes these mandrakes that are really hefker. They don't belong to anybody, but he wants to bring them to his mother. The devotion of Reuven to his mother, his job, he sees to make a close relationship between the parents. Again, number three, Breshit Perek Lamed Hey. In Breshit Perek Lamed Hey, after Rachel dies, what happens? We're in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayisa Yisrael vayet ohalo mehala lemigdal eder. So they travel, and again, I didn't bring in all the prakim, but we know this happens right after the story of Dina, which is very important for our issue. Vayihi bishkon Yisrael ba'eretz ahi, right? They move the whole machaneh after the whole issue of Shechem. They have to travel to a new place. Right after the issue with Shechem, Hashem promises Yaakov that he's going to change his name. Before he had the meeting with Esav, the Malach gives Yaakov the name Yisrael. Here Hashem gives Yaakov the name Yisrael. And what happens? Vayihi bishkon Yisrael ba'eretz ahi, vayelech Reuven, vayishkav et Bilha pilegesh aviv, vayishma Yisrael. So after they move to Migdal Eder, Reuven does a specific act. What is the act that Reuven does? According to the Pshat, it would seem that actually Bilhah and Reuven were together intimately, right? Vayishkavet Bilhah Pilegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisrael. The Midrashim asked the question, can it be that Reuven did that kind of act? Let's look at the Breishit Rabbah. Let's look at the Breishit Rabbah, and we're actually going to look in number 5. Okay, we're going to skip to number 5 for a minute. We're in Vayishkav, line number 2 and number 5. Vayishkav, what does it mean, Vayishkav? Mitoch shebilbel mishkavo, ma'ale alava katuv ki'ilu shechava. According to the Midrash, what did Reuven do? He actually moved the beds of Bilhah, which was put into the tent of Yaakov after Rachel's petirah, after Rachel's death, and he wanted to move in Leah's bed. Again, the Midrash is completely consistent with what we see in the Pshat. What was Reuven's job? What did he see as his role in the family? To bring his parents together, Leah and Yaakov. And here the Midrash is saying, after Rachel's death, right, where should Leah be? She should be by the side of Yaakov. So Reuven is completing the cycle that he began when he brought the Dudaim. Also, what does it want to say? And again, let's continue. V'lama bilbel v'chilel yitzu'av. Kshemeta Rachel, natal Yaakov mitato, shaita netuna tadir bo'ohel Rachel, v'lo bishar ohalim, unetana bo'ohel Bilhah. After Rachel's death, Yaakov was with Bilhah. Ba Reuven, Reuven saw this, v'tava el bonimo, he said, this is embarrassing to my mother. And again, we see that is the theme with Reuven till now. Amar im achot imi haita tsara le'imi. If Leah was jealous of Rachel, of course she would be jealous of Bilhah. At least Rachel was an equal. Right? Shivchat achot imi tehei tsara le'imi, lachen bilbel. So what's the point? The point the Midrash says is that Reuven wanted to defend his mother, and that's why he did what he did. And then the Midrash asks, Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar, how come the Pasuk says that Yaakov's children were 12? Matchil le'inyan rishon, mishenolad binyamin nishlama hamita, u'me'ata ru'uyim lehimanot u'mena'an. Reuven is the first, Binyamin is the last. Binyamin was just born right at Rachel's death, so that's why we're taking the chance to count all of B'nai Israel here. But the Midrash continues. V'raboteinu darshu l'lamdeinu ba shekulan shavim v'kulam tzadikim shelo chata Reuven. If Reuven did such a cardinal sin, right, if you would say according to the Pshat, right, that he was with Bilhah, then Reuven could not be considered one of the Shvatim anymore. That's a cardinal sin that Reuven could never be forgiven for. So clearly it could not be that Reuven did that. What did he do? Right, he moved the bed. So that's not nice. It's disrespectful to Yaakov, but it's not a cardinal sin. And that's why Reuven is still considered one of the Shvatim. Now we go back. We know, and again, we're thinking of number 3 and 4. We know that Reuven does this act after the death of Rachel and after the Inyan of Dina. What did Reuven learn with the Inyan of Dina? Which of the two brothers that take charge in the issue with Dina? Shimon and Levi. Who is absent? Reuven. Reuven is the Bechor, and in defending Dina's honor, who should have been the first one? It should have been Reuven. He should have taken charge. That should have been his role as Bechor. And yet Shimon and Levi, brother 2 and 3, take charge. Also, Dina is his mother's daughter. Reuven should have taken a stand. He should have stood up and said something. And yet it was Shimon and Levi. Now the other question is, now when they're coming to Eretz Yisrael, right, they're moving. They're in Eretz Yisrael, but they're moving around in Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov chooses to be with Bilhah, according to the Midrash, what do we want to see? Reuven is going to take a stand. What does he want to show? That he is a Bechor. He is going to take a leadership position. And in what way would he take a leadership position? In defending his mother. That is Reuven's job. That's what he sees his job is from the beginning. But when Reuven did it, what did he really do? We see in the Brachot later, which we'll talk about, Az chilalta yitzu'i ala. When Reuven does this, he is really disrespecting his father. When Reuven takes charge and is involved with Bilhah, in whatever way it is, right, he is disrespecting Yaakov's choices. And what was the problem with Shimon and Levi in Shechem? They take charge without Yaakov's permission. And Reuven, by taking charge now, is disrespecting his father in two ways. Number one, he is making the intimate personal decisions of the family, which is not something Reuven should have been involved with. But what did Reuven see from the beginning of time? What was he always involved with? He was always involved with that. What is his first job and his first role? How does the Torah introduce Reuven? When he gives the Dudaim to his mother. Number two, which is really an interesting point here, how did the Achim, how did the brothers look at this act? Did they see this as something courageous, or did they see this as something disrespectful? Did he get the honor and respect of the brothers, or not? And now we're going to go on. So did he sacrifice the respect of his brothers and his father to gain the honor of his mother? Was that the trade-off that Reuven made? And we'll see how that plays out for him in the future. And the Midrash says something very interesting. Now we're looking at Breshit Rabbah number 4, Parsha Pei Bet. Vayhi bishkon Yisrael, amar Rav Yehuda bar Simon, kasha hi shalshelet yichusin lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'teaker mimkoma. Really, what should have happened to Reuven once he failed in this way? In whatever way it is. Even if he was just disrespectful to Yaakov, that's a terrible thing to do. Still, what do we consider him? The Bechor. Which means he doesn't lose the Bechorah because he did this. Because it says, B'nei Yaakov Shnei Masar. Now, let's see towards the end. Look what it says in the end. B'nei Le'ah Bechor Yaakov Reuven. Rabbi Yudan B'shem Rabbi Acha Amar. Reuven Bechor Le'ibur. He was the first one the mother was pregnant with. Bechor La'Leda. He's the first one that was born. Bechor Le'Bechorah. Right? He is the first one. When Bnei Israel, let's say, would work in Bet HaMikdash, we still count the firstborn, just like Reuven is the firstborn. Bechor LaNachala, when they give out Eretz Israel, we still count the Nachala, we mention Reuven first. Bechor LaAvodah, Bechor LeTshuva, we'll see that later on, Reuven is the first one to say Teshuva, right? To say the words of Teshuva. And Rav Azariah Amar, Af Bechor LeNevoah, Shneemar Tchilat Diber Hashem Hoshea. And Hoshea, right, good chance that he's from Shevet Reuven. But what we see in this Midrash, and this is the theme with Reuven, Reuven does not lose his titular ceremonial role as Bechor by doing the Averad that he did. But he lost real Bechorah. He lost leadership, he lost Malchut, kingship. He loses his real role by doing this act. Which means, in Sefer Breshit, you are the Bechor. And until you do some act that shows that you're not taking responsibility, that you're not taking charge, you have the potential to get the biracha as well. So what was Reuven only left with? Ceremonial bechorah. He's the first. We always mention him first. But he never takes the opportunity to really do acts of leadership that a bechor should do. And again, we know in Chumash, you always have a chance for tshuva. So people make mistakes. We'll see Yehuda makes mistakes. We know David makes mistakes. So the question is, can Reuven ever overcome this mistake? And that's what we want to see. Reuven did this act. It is a terrible mistake. But now we want to see, throughout his history, can he undo this? Can he really undo this mistake? And long term, we'll be able to get out of it. Look at Breshit Rabbah, Parsha Tzadichet. And that's also in number 5. It's the fourth line down. Habchora hayta shelcha. We're still on number 2. Page number 2. Habchora hayta shelcha. Vakuna hayta shelcha. Vahamalchut hayta shelcha. Vahachshav shechatata. Nitna habchora liyosef. Hakuhuna lelevi. Vahamalchut liyuda. Reuven had the opportunity of being the Bechor, of being the Kohen, and of being the king, the Melech. But now that he sinned, the Bechorah is given to Yosef. How is the Bechorah given to Yosef? Yosef has Menashe and Ephraim, double portion. Hakuhuna leLevi. Levi is going to be the Kohen. And again, a fascinating situation, because what do we know about Shimon and Levi? They did the terrible chet with Dina, and yet they get a curse, they get a klala when Yaakov is giving the brachot at the end of his day. But Shevet Levi is actually able to do tshuva. They are able to sublimate that kanaut, that zealousness, into something positive. They're able to do it for Hashem. So they have that same trait, that quality of zealousness, but they're able to use it and to channel it towards Avodat Hashem. And yet Reuven, who constantly has opportunities to really redress this grievous and heinous crime that he did by disrespecting his father, and he keeps on trying to, but he never is really able to resolve it. And yet we'll see that Yehuda, on the other hand, he gets Malchut, even though, what does he do? He is selling Yosef. He's instrumental in selling Yosef. We'll see that he goes down Me'et Echav, he leaves the family. He lets two sons of him die, two sons of his die because he doesn't want to take responsibility for them or get involved with their life or educate them. And yet he is able to turn himself around. So the story of Reuven is not that once you make a mistake, you can never redress it. You can never do tshuva for it. But once you make a mistake, how you go about repairing it makes all the difference in the world. And that is the message that we have about Reuven and Yehuda, which means we all make mistakes. And the idea in this world is once you make a mistake, you have the opportunity to repair it. But how you do tshuva, what are the lengths you go to, and how you repair that really makes a difference and will have effects for yourself, for your children, and for future generations. And we see here, Reuven had opportunity after opportunity to redress this crime, and yet he never does it in a full way. Yehuda, who also will sin, who will also do chataim, is able to turn things around, even though he is close to the abyss. And he is able to turn things around and really transform himself to the next leader. Reuven is not able, Shimon and Levi didn't really do it in the right way with Dina, and so Yehuda steps in. And that's what we're going to see today. So I'm tipping my hand early on in order for us to go ahead with the Makorot and really read them with this in mind. So now we're on number 6. Rashi, as we know, quotes the Bereishit Rabbah and the Midrashim, especially Tanhuma and others, very extensively, because Rashi wants to give you the hashkafa of Chazal. Rashi wants to teach you pshat, but Rashi also wants to show you that the psukim in the Torah and the way Chazal interpret them are really in harmony. So when he gives his psukim and he explains them with the midrashim, he wants to show you what is the hashkafa of Chazal. So number 6, Bechor Yaakov, Bechor Lenachala, Bechor Laavoda, Bechor Leminyan. V'lo nitna bechora liyosef, ela liinyan ha-shvatim, shenasa lishnei shvatim. Reuven will always have the name of Bechor. In all these areas, we will call him Bechor, and he's mentioned first. But in a real sense, he does not have the Bechora. Who will have the Bechora as a double portion? That will be Yosef. So now let's see how this really transpires. We're in Bereishit Perek Lamed Zayin. Vayishma Reuven, again, we're not learning Mechirat Yosef now, so that's another issue, right? But we want to focus on Reuven and Yehuda's role. Vayishma Reuven vayetzileu me'adam vayomer lo nakenu nafesh. Reuven is coming into the story. They're already planning to kill Yosef. I just want to give you some background. They want to murder Yosef, and Reuven hears this. Vayetzileu me'adam vayomer lo nakenu nafesh. Let's not kill him. And the question is, how is Reuven convincing them not to kill Yosef? Vayomer alehem, he says to them, Al tishpichu dam, don't shed blood. Just throw him into the pit, because he wanted to save him, lahashivo el aviv. He wanted to return Yosef to his father. So what's very interesting here is the language that the Torah uses, because Reuven never uses the word brothers here. He never refers to his brothers as achim. Is this a hint that after he really did whatever he did as disrespect to Yaakov, that Reuven never really was involved with the brothers on equal footing? Number 2, we see that Reuven really wants to prove something to his father, because why does he want to save Yosef? L'hashivo el aviv, to return Yosef to his father. And number 3, what we see here is Al tishpichu dam. What is the theme of Dina and Shimon and Levi? What word is constantly repeated in that whole parsha? The issue of blood, the issue of killing. Which means Reuven wants to show, I'm not going to be like Shimon and Levi. Right? He wants to set his path separate. Al tishpichu dam. And yet, Vayhi kasher ba Yosef el echav. When Yosef is coming, how does he see everybody? As his brothers. Right? And what happens? They strip him, they sit to eat bread, And then pasuk kavav vayomer Yehuda el echav ma betza ki naroget achinu v'chisinu et damo. The difference between Reuven and Yehuda, when Reuven speaks to his brothers, we never see them referred to as his brothers. He doesn't refer to Yosef as his brothers. Reuven is distanced from the family. He doesn't have that connection with the family that we see that Yehuda has. He speaks to his brothers. Vayishmu'u echav, they listen to his advice. And yet with Reuven, till now, the only relationship that is mentioned about Reuven is El Imo. He brings the Dudaim to his mother. And also here, Lahashivo El Aviv. He wants to return Yosef to his father, to repair the relationship with his father. And yet Reuven never was able to develop a leadership role among the brothers. And this is his chance. And yet, he doesn't refer to them as Achim. Yehuda, in every sentence, says El Echav. And even when he speaks about Yosef, how does he mention him? Naharog et achinu v'chisinu et damo. And what happens? Pasuk av zayin, they want a plan to sell him to the Ishmaelim. V'yadenu al tihibo ki achinu b'sareinu hu v'yishme'u echav. And this is why the Midrash says, look at number 10, Breshit Rabbah, Parsha Pei Dalet. Vayomer Yehuda Elechav, we're on number 10. B'shevach Yehuda HaKatuv Medaber. The Torah is really praising Yehuda here. B'gibel Mekomot Diber Yehuda Mipnei Echav, V'asu Oto Melech Alehem. Yehuda spoke three times amongst his brothers, and they made him king. Vayomer Yehuda Elechav, here when he speaks, they listen. Vayavo Yehuda ve'echav, we have that later on, we'll see. Vayigash elav Yehuda. In three places, when Yehuda speaks, everyone listens. Whereas when Reuven speaks and they put him in the boar, a few minutes later, or however much time passes, what happens? They take him out of the boar and they do something else. Which means when Reuven gives a suggestion, after a short while, his suggestion is null and void. Whereas when Yehuda gives a suggestion and they listen, it has permanent ramifications. And another thing which is interesting here, if Reuven said not to kill Yosef and put him in the boar, where is he when they're having the discussion of Yosef? Where is he? Shouldn't he have said, don't sell him, I want to return him to Yaakov? Where is Reuven? If you start with something, you have to finish it up. How could Reuven leave in a crucial time when Yosef's life is in the balance? If you're really a leader, if you're really a brother who's taking charge, who really wants to save Yosef's life, where should you be? You should be next to him the whole time. You can't just leave in the middle, which means you can't be a leader by starting something and then leaving and let someone finish up for you. That's what Reuven is doing. He's constantly not following through with his suggestions. So the Midrash wants to say, but we have good reason for this. Where was Reuven? How come he's not with his brothers? So we have two explanations. Now look at number 8. What are the two explanations? Rabbi Yossi Amar, in the middle of the first line, Kol echad ve'echad mehem haya meshamesh et aviv yomo. Ve'oto hayom shel Reuven haya. They had several brothers. Every day, some other brother is really helping the father. So Reuven was with Yaakov that day. That's why he was missing. So because he was with his father, he couldn't be there for the rest of the conversation. He had to run back to his father. So it's really a kibbutz thing. That's why he wasn't there. So we can't really criticize him. Number 2, look at number 9, Breshit Rabbah Parsha Pei Dalet. Where was he? Ve'echan haya, Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer omer besako uvetanito. Reuven was still trying to do tshuva for his sin with Bilhah, which means he still felt bad. He still had to do tshuva. He still did not fix that big avera. He couldn't repair that rip that he did within the family. He couldn't repair that avera, that sin, that chasm that opened up between him and Yaakov or between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he is doing tshuva. But yet, if he's involved with tshuva, if he wants to do a full tshuva, where should he be? He should be there helping Yosef. He should be there with the brothers. That's the way to do the tshuva. And yet Reuven is too self-involved. When he wants to save Yosef, what does he say? Lahatzilo to miyadam lahashivo el aviv. He wants to bring him back to his father so he would look good. Furthermore, what do we see? After he was sold, go back to number 7. Right after he was sold, Pasuk Kaftet, Vayashav Reuven El Habor. When he returns back to the pit, Vihine En Yosef Babor Vayikrat Begadav. He is in mourning when he sees that Yosef is not there. But what is his reaction? Vayashav Elechav, we're in Pasuk Lamed in number 7. Vayomer Hayeled Einenu Ve'ani Ana Aniba. When he sees that Yosef is not there, what's his first response? What is his first response? He tears his clothes. Then what does he say? The boy is not there. What language do the brothers constantly use about Yosef? Achinu. Not when they want to kill him originally, but with a discussion with Yehuda. Reuven is coming back and he calls him the boy. And yet, when he comes back, this is the first time at least that Reuven is using what language, or the Torah is using what language with Reuven and the brothers? Echav. But still, how does he speak about Yosef? The boy. Hayeled einenu ve'ani ana aniba. Who is he worried about? Himself. What is he going to say to Yaakov? A leader cannot only care about himself, how he looks, how he seems to others. He has to care about the ramifications. What will be the effect on Yaakov? What will be the effect of the bigger picture? That's also a deficiency in Yehuda. When Yehuda says, Ma betza ki narog et achinu v'chisinu et damo, he doesn't care how this will affect his father. Right? Yehuda does something that affects his father tremendously, and he doesn't care about those ramifications. So too Yehuda. Yehuda sells Yosef and doesn't think, what is this going to do to the father? And what are the ramifications for Yaakov? Let's look further on. Pasuk Lamed Bet, right? Vayishlechu et ktonet hapasim vayaviu el avihem. They come to Yaakov, their father. Vayomer zot matzan, we found this coat of many colors. We found this. Hakerna, do you recognize haktonet bincha hi imlo? Right, the familial words, right? Everything about the family are very strong here. Imlo, he recognizes it. Vayakireha, vayomer ktonet bini, right? Vayikra Yaakov simlotav. Yaakov also tears his clothes. And he puts a sack b'matna, vayitabel al b'no yamim rabim. He sits in avelus on his son. Vayakumu kol banav v'chol b'notav. Everyone comes to try to give him nechama. Vayima'en lehinachem. He doesn't want to be comforted. Vayomer ki ered el b'ni avel she'ola vayefchoto aviv. So Yaakov is in avelut all the time. Again, it's a whole different issue when we talk about Yosef. But again, ki ered el bni avel sheola. The sons underestimated the respect and the love that Yaakov had for all his sons. Because what's used here is the word bni, and not only the word Yosef, which means the Shvatim underestimated Yaakov's love for all of them, Yaakov's respect for all of them. They underestimated his reaction when Yosef is not going to be there anymore. Hakerna haktonet binchahi, is it your son? So also generically, the idea is that Yaakov cares about every single son. We know he had a special relationship with Yaakov, and they underestimate it, which means they underestimate the relationship of Yaakov to the Achim. Reuven underestimates in one sense that if he does a full real tshuva, Yaakov would really forgive him. Yehuda underestimates by selling Yosef that Yaakov's loss of Yosef will be, really be tragic. And as a result, what's the lesson that Yehuda has to learn in order to understand the value of a father-son relationship? Unfortunately, Yehuda loses his two sons before he can understand what a parent-child relationship is, what a leader has to feel for his children, what he has to feel for his brothers as well. And that's why we have number 11. Vayehi ba'etahi, after Yosef was sold, vayered Yehuda me'et echav. Right? Yehuda has to leave his brothers. Look at 12. Breishit perek lamed ched pasuk aleph. What do we see? Rashi explains, what does it mean? Yehuda vayered Yehuda me'et echav. Lelamed shehoridu echav migdulato. When the brothers saw that Yehuda, who they all respected, and when he spoke, everyone listened, when he suggested to sell Yosef, who did they blame? They blamed Yehuda. You brought dishonor and anguish to our father. Shimon and Levi already did it. Reuven already did it. And now you, number 4, with your suggestion, and we all listen to you, again, we're failing Yaakov. Amru ata amarta lemachro. Right? You said to sell him. If you said we should return him to our father, we would have listened to you. It's 2020 hindsight. Of course, Yehuda understood the atmosphere, and of course the brothers would not just happily return Yosef to his father. But what's happening here? The brothers saw Yehuda as the next potential leader. We listen to you. You are now the one that we are all looking towards, and you failed us as well. So we have four failures so far with the Achim. And what happens? Vayered Yehuda me'et Echav. He leaves his brothers. And we know the story. His two sons die because Yehuda doesn't educate them. He doesn't take a role with his family. Here, originally, Yehuda was so involved, he takes a stand to sell Yosef, but he's a little too flip about the father-son relationship. He's too flip with the power of words that he has. So he leaves, and he thinks that he's going to distance himself from the family and that he could distance himself from his future, from his destiny. And yet, what happens? After Tamar comes, and this is, again, a totally separate issue, but after Tamar comes and shows Hakerna, right, she brings the items, we're back on 11, she brings the items, right, Chotamcha, Matcha, V'tilatcha, she brings those three items, and she says, in number 11, we're in Pasuk, Kafhei, right, Yehuda says she has to be burned, and she says, V'tomer Hakerna, L'miyah Chotemet V'aptilim V'amateh Eile, she brings the three signs that Yehuda gave her. Vayaker Yehuda. Yehuda recognizes them. Vayomer tzadka mimeni. Right away, what does Yehuda say when he sees these three items? Tzadka mimeni. Vayaker Yehuda. She says, do you recognize it? And it says hakerna, which means when he is confronted with the proof that he made a mistake, he admits it right away. Yehuda ta yuducha achecha. Yehuda hapam odeh et Hashem. And the idea of vidui, what do we see? Yehuda admits right away. It took time. He had to go through a terrible situation. But instead of constantly using an excuse or constantly thinking about himself, what do we see with Yehuda? First of all, he does vidui, vayaker Yehuda. Vayomer tzadka mimeni. He admits that she was more correct. And he is willing to say that someone else is right. We don't find any words that Reuven uses to say someone else is right and I was wrong. We do find Reuven doing tshuva, look back, and saying va'ani ana ani ba. I feel bad. So we give him credit for doing tshuva, but he's only in the first stage. He's only in hakarat achet, in saying, okay, I did something bad, but what's the next step? Vidui, and what's the next step? That whenever you're in that situation, you have to undo it. You have to be able to move ahead. And Reuven was never able to move ahead. He was always stuck in feeling bad about the father-son relationship. He was always feeling bad about the relationship that he had. And that's why we will see with Reuven, even in his brachot, what does Yaakov remind him of? That first chet. Yaakov could have done what to Yehuda in his brachot? Also remind him of his first chet. What he did as two sons were killed, right, because of what happened with Tamar. And yet that is never mentioned in the brachot, because Reuven was not able to move ahead, and Yehuda was able to move ahead. And where do we see that? Let's look at number 13. Breshit Rabba, Parsha Pehe. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon, and mostly I really wanted to bring in the Midrashim to show you the insight of the Midrashim, how they also psychologically analyze and really want to teach lessons from what's happening in Sefer Breshit. Rav Yehuda Bar Simon, Rabbi Chanin Bereshem, Rabbi Yochanan, kol mishehu matchil b'mitzvah ve'eino gomra koveret ishto ve'et banav. If you start with a mitzvah and you don't finish it, unfortunately what happens in the end, you'll bury your wife and your children. Where do we see that? Mimi ata lamed mi Yehuda. We see this from Yehuda. Vayomer Yehuda elechav. Ma betza, he was willing to sell Yosef. Hayalo loholicho al ktefo etzel aviv. Ma garamlo kavar ishto banav. What should Yehuda done? Instead of saying ma betza ki narog et achinu, let's not kill him, we'll bring him back to our father. That's what Yehuda should have done. That's the way he should have saved Yosef. But what does he do? Yehuda is not able to bring Yosef back the first time around because he says, Ma betza, let's sell him. But what does Yehuda do in the end of Sefer Breshit? He brings back Yehuda to his father. It's Yehuda who's responsible, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. It's Yehuda who really completes the cycle. If Reuven wanted to do full tshuva, what should he have done? Taken charge and brought Yosef back. If you want to start a mitzvah, if you want to be really considered someone who's something, don't just say, I'll do it, or show good intentions. That'll get you this far, but that's not going to get you that you really have completed the mitzvah. That is not going to really give you the real sachar. That is not going to show that you have the real qualities. What shows if you have the real qualities? If you're able to finish it. And Reuven was never able to finish. He gave good suggestions. He was nice. He always tried. And we give him credit for that. We're not putting down Reuven. Reuven was a great personality, but he was never able to get to the next level. What's really fascinating about Yehuda is he was able to go to the lowest depths. He lost his two sons. He separated himself from the family. There was almost no string connecting him with the family anymore. And what was he able to do? To take that thin, thin thread and pull himself back. And that's also what we see what he does with Yosef. He takes that thin, thin thread of recognition, and again, we're not doing Yosef and Yehuda right now, and he is able to pull Yosef back into the family, because Yehuda realizes what it is to lose children, what it is to be separate from the family, what it is to lose the respect of your father and the respect of the brothers, and he is able to pull himself back. How do we see that Yehuda is really able to do that completely? We see that in number 15, Breshit, Perek, Membet, and Memgimel. When they're in Mitzrayim, and they realize that Yosef is playing games with them, but they don't know it's Yosef, what do they say one to the other? Vayomru, we're in number 15, Pasuk Kafalef. Vayomru ish el achiv, aval ashemim anachnu, al achinu, asher ra'inu tzarat nafsho bitchaneno aleinu velo shamanu, al ken ba aleinu atzara azot. The brothers speak to each other and they say, you know, we're responsible because our brother was yelling to us, he was screaming to us, and then we didn't save him. This, again, a whole other shear, but we see something fascinating here. In the story first with Yosef, there's not one word said by Yosef in Mechirat Yosef. And yet here, what do we see? He was crying. He was screaming. He was yelling out to his brothers, and they did not respond. So the whole first story of Mechirat Yosef is written as if Yosef is mute. But here it's showing us he was crying and begging the whole time. So what should a brother say now to step in and capitalize on this feeling that all the brothers have? Look what Reuven does. Such a misfire. Pasuk kaf bet, vayan Reuven otam lamor. Halo amarti aleichem lomar al techtu ubayeled. I told you to save him. I told you this will just cause us trouble. Velo shamatem vagam damo hinei nidrash. His blood is now being called up, which means I told you to save him. You didn't listen to me, right? You listened to Yehuda and did all the things that you did, and now you're in trouble. I told you so is the worst thing a leader could do, or anyone could do, to have people listen to him. Which means Reuven is still trying to get the leadership position. But how does he do it? By showing their failures. By proving the failures of the brothers. You didn't listen to me. That is not the way to build up family relations or to build up trust. You have to take responsibility. What did Reuven say? I should have finished trying to save Yosef till the end. But who does he blame? He blames the brother, right? You should have listened to me. It's your fault. That's not the way you take a leadership position, right? And then Reuven says, again, I skipped many psukim. When they're back home, what does Reuven say to Yaakov for them to go back to get ochel? What does he say? Vayom Reuven el aviv, et shnei banai tamit im lo avienu alecha. I'll take Binyamin, and you can kill my two sons if I don't bring him back to you. So what is Yaakov's reaction? He doesn't send his children. He doesn't send Binyamin with Reuven. Why? He's so courageous, Reuven. What is he willing to do? Have Yaakov kill his two sons, Yaakov's own grandchildren, if he doesn't bring back Binyamin's son, Binyamin. Again, we just have to read the Rashi, which is really the Midrash, and also Rashi says pretty much the same thing, but I wanted to show you the Midrash is really so central. Here, number 16. What is Yaakov's response? Right? Rebbe Omer, Hareza Bechor Shote. What does Bechor Shote mean? Banecha lo banayhem atma? If Reuven is offering his two sons to be killed, if he doesn't bring back Binyamin, what is he showing? That his children don't have the same value, life value, as Binyamin. So Reuven didn't learn anything about the value of life. He doesn't learn anything about a parent-child relationship. He's willing to sacrifice his sons for Binyamin? So what does Yaakov realize? This is someone who's not responsible. He's willing to have his two sons killed in order to be a lien on the guarantee or a surety for Binyamin's life. So Yaakov does not send Binyamin down with Reuven. And yet, when Yehuda comes forward and says, we really have to bring Binyamin with us, he listens. Look at Perek Mem Gimel, we're still in number 15. Pasuk Chet. Vayomer Yehuda el Yisrael Aviv. Shilcha hanar iti v'nakuma v'nelcha v'nechia v'lo namut, gam anachnu v'gam tapein. Yehuda steps forward, and El Yisrael Aviv. Again, this is also a whole different shiur, but what's fascinating about Yaakov's name here? It's Yisrael, and what does that mean? That Yaakov is now on a new level. He has his nevuah back. When Yehuda speaks to him, it sparks something in Yaakov, that he's back to his Yisrael, he's back to his full power. And what do we see? We see that he says, Anochi e'ervenu miyadi tevakshenu im lo ha'aviti velecha v'yitzaktiv lefanecha v'chatati lecha kol hayamim. Yehuda takes responsibility. I'll be responsible for him, and I will take responsibility forever. That's the role of Yehuda. He takes responsibility forever. And later we see that whenever they come to approach Yosef, it's Yehuda. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Vayavo Yehuda. Ve'et Yehuda shalach lefanav. If you look at 17, 18, you see that he constantly takes this kind of leadership position. We don't hear from Reuven anymore. Yehuda is the one who steps forward to Yosef. Yehuda is the one who scouts out Eretz Goshen. Yehuda is the one who is able to really close the deal with Yosef and have Bnei Israel continue for the future. And as a result, we see this dichotomy. What does Reuven have? Reuven has titular ceremonial head. Number 19, Ve'ele shmot Bnei Israel haba'im mitzrayma, Yaakov ubanav bechor Yaakov Reuven. We give him the titular title. We give him the ceremonial title. But he doesn't have real leadership. Who is the one who has real leadership? Yehuda. Number 22. Again, by accident, they just did the Breishit Rabbah and not the Psukim themselves. But it's Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. All the brothers will be modeh to you. So Yehuda's name really comes to fruition, comes to fulfillment. He is able to do vidui, and all the brothers will admit his greatness. We also see that Yehuda, gur aryeh Yehuda, right? And we also see miteref bni alita. What's miteref bni alita? And that is, again, in number 22, mitorfo shel Yosef alita venita leita. When you sold Yosef, you could have really been down and removed completely from the brothers. Vayered Yehuda me'etechav. And what was he able to do? Alita v'nita lech aleta. He was able to take adversity and turn it around and learn from it and grow. Reuven took adversity and never was able to grow from it. He was mired in this adversity and in that sin his entire life. So when Yaakov gives him a bracha, what is the characteristic of the bracha? That first chet. Not because you're never forgiven for chata'im that you do, but you have to be able to overcome them. And that's why, what is Reuven's chet? His first chet is with Az chilalta yitzu'iela. Reuven b'choriata, kochi v'reishitoni, you had great potential, but what did you do? Pachaz kamayim al totar, ki alita mishkevei avicha. Because of whatever you did with Mishkevei Avicha, the bed of your father. And this is a fascinating Breishit Rabbah. Again, bullseye. We're on number 21. Right, we read it. Habchorai Tashalcha. Right, also mentioned several places. You had the Bechora, you had the Kahuna, you had the Malchut. And now that you sinned, it was given to Yosef, to Levi, and to Yehuda. But not because he sinned and you can never sin and do tshuva. Yehuda also sinned, as we saw, mitorfo shel Yosef, alita v'lita leta. Mitorfo shel Tamar, alita v'nita leta. It's not that you can never make a mistake, but you have to know how to undo that mistake. You have to know how to do tshuva and really become something greater. But what happened with Reuven? Where is Reuven? And this is so interesting. Look all the way at the end of number 21. Rabbi Eliezer Amar, ki alita hechan badudaim. All the way in the beginning, when you were so concerned about Leah, and you gave her the dudaim, and you wanted to get involved in areas that were not yours from the beginning, and you saw that as your main goal in life, your whole focus was misdirected. And that gave your whole life a wrong focus. And because you were so focused on that, you weren't able to see the bigger picture. You weren't able to change your focus when you saw you were going in the wrong direction. So it's not what he did with Bilhah even. His first act set the tone for him. Could he have changed? Could he have moved away? Absolutely. Because what's the first act we see that Yehuda does? Ma betza ki narog et achinu. Let's sell Yosef. The first act that Yehuda does is Yosef, selling Yosef. Also, what's the next act he does? With Tamar. He doesn't educate his children. He gets involved in things he shouldn't get involved with. But what was he able to do? He was able to elevate and change himself. And that's the real story of Sefer Breshit. And that's the story of Beracha and Bechora. We see later on, Reuven never really learns his lesson. Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet HaMnashe are separate from Am Yisrael. They stay on Ever HaYarden. We also see that Reuven is not the first one to travel in the Midbar. It's Yehuda. We see also in Berchot Yaakov, Reuven gets his first bracha, but the real bracha is to Yehuda, who's number two, right? Shama Hashem kol Yehuda. Your voice has to be heard. Your actions have to speak for you. It's not enough to think the right things or to try to do the right things. We really have to really go a step beyond. If we want to be like Yehuda, even though we're not born into that first position, even though we're not natural for that position, we have to have that ability to be a Yehuda, to be someone who can really turn things around in whatever our position is and whatever our situation is, to really be able to be mode, to admit, and to really move to that next level. And to really make something happen in our lives. So this is our chance to really bring the Beracha and the Bechora into our lives. And even if we're not Bechorim, we always have the chance to get the Beracha. Thank you.